Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Didn't you used to be Chris Mullen? No longer in the tent, not quite out of it, celebrated diarist Chris Mullen gives his take on the 12 turbulent years since he left Parliament. With his trademark wit and keen eye for the absurd, he recounts events from the fall of New Labour to the death of the Queen. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from somewhere in the UK, Chris Mullen himself. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, you know that old saying about a week being a long time in politics, and I hate to drop a cliche in the first sentence, but 12 years sort of out of it, it must have missed an awful long time. Do you miss it?
Anybody who's read the previous volume of diaries, which is called Decline and Fall, a metaphor for my own humble career as much as that of the fate of my party, but anybody who's read that will have seen there's a great deal of angst about whether retiring in 2010 was a good idea or not, and I was very much in two minds, but it's actually worked out extremely well. And had I stayed, I think I'd have spent another decade yabooing on the back benches to no effect whatever.
Yeah,
I'm glad I went when I did.
Yabooing on the back benches seems to be the curse, isn't it? Because you're watching almost like a slow motion car crash. You can't take your eyes away from it, but there's not an awful lot you can do about it.
That's exactly so.
So what spurred you on then to put this one down, this particular particular volume of diaries? And what are the press notes said that it compares to Alan Clark? Now, if that's not an interesting comparison, I don't know what isn't.
Well, I think I'm more generous to my fellow human beings than Alan Clark was. When I left Parliament, I published three earlier volumes of diaries, which were extremely well received. Two of them scraped into the bestseller list, and they were also BBC Books of the Week. But I wasn't sure that there'd be a market for this new volume. And so I stopped keeping a diary soon after I retired, but life quickly became interesting again, so I started. And here it is. This covers a much bigger period than the previous volumes. The previous volumes covered 5 years of peace. This one covers 12 years of rather turbulent politics.
Well, yes, indeed. And it also it covers the period, if you will, is when politics has become an awful lot more polemic. It's become, there aren't the nuances, some might argue, that say that we have the shades of grey in between. It's black, it's white. We've had on both, in both the Conservatives and the Labour Party, and we describe the death of New Labour. Politics has become a much more, I don't know if it radicalises the right words, but, you know, it seems to be you're either with us or against us type of politics.
I think that's right. Now, of course, the Conservative Party has been in power for the last 13 years, and I think it's arguable they've been taken over by a cult, not entirely, but nationalists. There's now a nationalist wing. UKIP basically took over the Conservative Party. And that resulted in Brexit and a number of other things. And it's resulted also, it's unusual for the Conservative Party to split, but Europe really has divided the Conservative Party in a way that nothing else had. And Tories are normally very serious about power, but I think they've got a bit less serious in recent years.
Interesting to describe it as a cult of personality. And of course, Labour went through their own cult of personality, or if you like, painful, as you said, death of New Labour. And then we had the situation with Corbyn as well. And that
Jeremy Corbyn. Yes, let's just address that for a moment, because it does crop up quite a bit in the diaries. My view of Jeremy, for what it's worth, and I've known him for about 40 years, that he's a thoroughly decent human being, but he'd have been an absolutely hopeless prime minister, and for that reason, in the two leadership elections that occurred in which he was a candidate, I didn't vote for him. But I do deprecate the way in which he was monstered by our free press, and indeed by some in his own party, because, as I say, he's a thoroughly decent human being. He's a pacifist, he's a green, he's a vegetarian, he's not in favour of killing anything. You can agree or disagree with that, but he's lived the life according to his principles, and I respect him for that.
And you could, I mean, many would argue this was the person, the former Labour leader who he was drawn comparison with, Michael Foot, who again was a man of principle and a thoroughly decent human being, but again was seen as the, you know, as basically the worst possible option for the country, quote unquote.
Dear old Michael was a bit different in the sense that he had been in the cabinet for a long time. He had held responsibility quite successfully, latterly, whereas Jeremy had never been anywhere near office, and he had a very small following in the parliamentary party. In a parliamentary democracy, it is fatal to elect a leader who only commands the support of maybe 10 or 15% of the elected MPs. And so it proved.
And of course, now we're in the situation where, you know, you might argue that it's an awful lot of style over substance, if you like, and you know, the main aim seems to be getting into power, and then perhaps, you know, we see what we do with it next.
I think there's always been an element of that in British politics. I'm sure politics elsewhere too, there's certainly not as big a gap between the two main parties as they would both like you to believe there is, except on Brexit. I think there is really a significant gap on that.
Mm. Indeed. I mean, the B word, as we refer to it over here in Europe, the B word, or el Brexit, as my Spanish friends refer to it, really has been a sea change. What's it like sitting on the sidelines yourself and, you know, covering that, as it were?
Well, covering Brexit, in my view, is a very big mistake from the UK's point of view. And we are already paying the price for it. There are some, there's some evidence of what we call buyer's remorse already. Some of those who were in favour of it are discovering it hasn't quite worked out as they expected. But the last 12 years, the period covered by my diaries, have been remarkably turbulent. Somebody tweeted last autumn, after we just lost a prime minister, they said, "My son has lived through four chancellors of the Exchequer, three foreign secretaries, two prime ministers, and two monarchs. He is 4 months old."
I mean, from a news hand's point of view, this was a fabulous and fascinating period, because every time you turned on the news, you were thinking, how long? And of course, we had the lettuce situation with the Star, bless them. You know, it was politics like we've never seen it before.
It was. Well, the rise of Corbyn was interesting, but the rise of Boris Johnson was even more interesting. And it was completely inevitable that Boris Johnson would fall in due course. So, yes, it was a very turbulent period. I suppose entertaining when viewed from afar, but not so entertaining if you're in the middle of it.
Indeed. It's not just a book about sort of movers and shakers within the political parties. It's also anecdotes of other people that you come into contact during your life in there. And I believe Her Late Majesty was one that you came into contact with and had you found yourself under her icy glare, her icy stare, perhaps?
Over the years, I suppose I've run into her, or rather she's run into me, about half a dozen times, and exchanges with the Queen are normally extremely brief, and some of them are recorded in my other volumes of diaries. Yes, there was a little incident. I used to be the chairman of the Heritage Lottery Fund in the northeast of England. And in that capacity, I was invited to one of the lunches when she celebrated the 65th year Jubilee. And it was in Durham Castle. And she was on the next table, actually. And when we all stood up for the national anthem, I noticed her staring at me. And it occurred to me that somebody had pointed me out as the author in a previous volume of a story about an incident, well, rather shocking incident in its way. The Governor General of Bermuda, the British Governor General of Bermuda, had been murdered in 1978, I think, Sir Richard Sharples. And someone was apprehended for it, tried and sentenced to death. And he was entitled to appeal to the Privy Council, and his appeal was rejected. And then he appealed for mercy to the Queen. And this story was told to me by the Privy Councillor who took the paperwork round to the palace. She acts on advice, of course. It wasn't her decision, really. But she duly signed the papers dismissing the appeal. And then she said, "Fancy appealing to me for mercy. Do you know he even shot the dog?"
Indeed. Yes, and of course, for somebody like Her Late Majesty, whose love of corgis was legendary, that was never going to earn you royal brownie points, was it?
No, it wasn't. Unfortunately, it was in, as I say, in one of my earlier volumes of Diaries, but the Mail on Sunday splashed it all over the front page of its review, which I think is how it might have come to her attention.
How also in the Diaries you look at, it's not just, you know, and there I was with, you know, the movers and shakers, royalty, the nobility, the rich and the famous, but it's also, you know, the opinions and your dealings or your, you know, your communications with ordinary people, as it says in the book, citizens from all walks of life, from dustmen to dukes, which is rather mm-hmm. interesting. Without going down this sort of the earth route, I mean, there the people still have an interest in politics, still have an interest in their own lives.
Yes, of course. Everything, politics is about everything. It's about education, health, the air we breathe. So it can't just be put into a box and said only to concern those who are preoccupied with politics full time. It's about life. And these diaries record encounters with people in all walks of life. If you want the one about the Duke, well, there are several Dukes because I mix in rarefied circles sometimes. This one's the Duke of Buccleuch, who is Europe's greatest land owner, 275,000 acres, four big estates. Lovely man called Richard Scott, and he's a sponsor of the Melrose, or the Border Book Festival at Melrose in the Scottish Borders. And I noticed him at one of my events up there once. It's my favourite book festival. I've done hundreds, but this is my favourite. And anyway, I noticed him in the back row at one of my little speeches. And afterwards, I found him wandering around with one copy of my memoirs and four copies of a gardening book by Carol Klein. And I said to him, "Why have you got four?" And he said to me, "One for each of my head gardeners."
What do you hope that people will take from your book, Didn't You Used to Be Chris Mullin?
Well, I hope they'll enjoy it. I hope it will remind them of the times we've lived through. I like to think, but I may be entirely wrong, of course, that my opinions are fairly balanced. People do say that. I'm not party to any of the cults that have taken over British politics in recent years. I like to think people will find them amusing, and indeed, from the previous volumes, it's too early to say with this one, I have boxes of letters from people who say exactly that, so I'll settle for that.
And the title and the headline.
The title.
Did it really come? Did somebody actually come up to you and say, "By the way"?
Yes. Well, the title is "Didn't You Used to Be Chris Mullin?" I was wandering around Parliament about 2 years after I retired, and a former colleague came up to me, and he peered at me over the top of his glasses and said, "Didn't you used to be Chris Mullin?" And I said, "Thank you. That will do for the title of Volume 4. And here it is.
The book is called Didn't You Used to Be Chris Mullen Diaries 2010 to 2022. It is by Chris Mullen, who we've been speaking to today, who is still Chris Mullen. If people want to find you, do you have a website? Do you do the social media thing? Are you Chris? Are you, is there a hashtag Didn't You Used to Be Chris Mullen somewhere out there on the internet thingy?
There might be by now. But I with mixed feelings, I do Twitter, mainly as a way of publicising my various works, but I get into all sorts of exchanges on Twitter. So, yes, you can follow me on chris@chrismullenxmp.com.
Excellent. Excellent indeed. The book is also going to be available as a virtual download from our own virtual bookstore. The book is called Didn't You Used to Be Chris Mullen? It is by Chris Mullen. Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you today.
Thank you, Charles. Take care.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.